I want to share some things from my heart today with a very bold title, How We Can Help Change Our Nation and Our World. There's many scriptures that I could give you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 said, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice that Jesus said, Ye are the light of the world. I believe there are some 80 times that the world is referred to just in the Gospel of John alone. And there's a thought and theme in my heart that I do want to share. Not only are we the light of the world, but the scriptures tell us that Jesus went into the villages, He went into the cities, He commanded us to teach all nations, and He sent us to the world. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 14, This gospel shall be preached to all nations as a witness. Matthew 28, 19 said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then, of course, Jesus went on to the villages and to the cities. The cities and the villages teaching and preaching according to the word of God. Jesus did these things, and I believe there's so much for us to learn as we look at the ministry of Jesus. As I was talking to a missionary yesterday, something went off in my spirit when he quoted the verse of the Apostle Paul who said, speaking of the wise master builder, and then admonishing us to be careful, or to be diligent, whatever you want to say of it, how we build on that foundation. I've spoken to you many times, and I know we read books, but I don't think I have a book in my library. I don't know of any man of God that I've read about that excels the dedication, the commitment, the pouring out of his life, the unselfishness of his very existence. As missionary Mike Magnuson, I've known this man for over 20 years, and I've watched his heart. And the interesting thing about missionary Mike Magnuson was he never thought he was doing enough. I've had some lengthy conversations with him. In fact, in Grenada, he said, you know, with the outgoing islands, you know, 100, 120,000 potential population there, but he said, you know, I feel like I've done so little for the Lord. And I would do my best to tell him that I certainly do not believe that's true. But you see, on his passing, now we find out all the young people that he personally one-on-one trained. All the young people that they called in and taught them how to be a part of that television station. And the key workers in that station are those that he taught with excellence. Now, I don't know all the technical aspects of it, but how you bring programs in and how everything works in sync. I mean, the man ran a station of excellence far from what we would call the greater populated cities and, you know, the millions of population that we see in our Metroplex or New York or wherever you might go. And as I look at this man, the pioneering ministry of Mike Magnuson have changed at least four parts of the world that I'm aware of. When we first met them, they were part of a Spirit-filled Presbyterian church. Had just received the Holy Spirit and they were a part of that service. And God used them. And that church today has been a strong lighthouse and a strong tower for the gospel of Christ. Also, they were at the same time, they were pioneering a church in Winter Park, Colorado. Now, one of the eighth wonders of the world is to establish a strong church in a skiing city. Because most people there are running from something, hiding from something. And if you go back to those areas, as we have over the many years, I mean, their VWs don't run anymore, their dogs are dead, and they're still looking for another cause. And you see that escapism. And except you come in for 3 days or a week or whatever you do, there's very little permanence in a place like that. They're there, but there's very little spiritual permanence in a place like that. And yet in Winter Park, Colorado, there is a church that has continued to grow from its humble beginning and is a strong evangelical, spirit-filled church today because a man who was a contractor but was a preacher, but was a pioneer, but was an associate, but was in a ministry of helps, was willing to do whatever he could do, was willing to give of himself. And then they moved to the island of Grenada. The first thing they did was work with the youth who had carried machine guns and betrayed their parents. And of course, the Cuban and the Russian influence was so predominant there. When we first went there in the old airfield, there were the old airplanes that were shot and couldn't even get off the runway. I mean, it was very much still a war scene. And yet came into the island of Grenada. And before long, young people who had carried machine guns for the communists and had been paid to spy and many of them had caused the death of their own families who did not measure up to whatever communism is supposed to do. Now they carried Bibles, and now they were born again, and now they were delivered from the vices that had bound their life. And then I remember the day when Brother Mike Magnuson said, "You know, Pastor, I believe that God wants us to start 24-hour day television on the island of Grenada." I thought, now, this man's been a steady rock all the time that I've known him, but how in the world? I said, "Mike, how will it be?" He said, "It's in my heart, Pastor." I said, "If it's in your heart, it will work. We'll do all we can to help you." 24-hour a day. Better picture than I can get in my own home. Television set of preaching and teaching and singing and witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when God opened the door to Uganda, we flew there, made more than one trip there. And again, Pastor Mike Magnuson was there for over 90 days and then back several other times to oversee the construction of things, everything concerning that station. And he told me, he said, "This is one of the most rewarding missions of my life." He said, I can't explain it, Pastor Bob, but he said, "There's something about what has been poured out of me into this station." He said, I can't explain it. It's one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done in my life. He was just a quiet giant. He never was one who was flamboyant, just steady and did what he did with such excellence. And now, here we are 5 years later, 24-hour a day Christian television and Lighthouse Television of Uganda. And the gospel there is going forth 24 hours a day. Preaching, teaching, singing, exhorting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I said all that to say this because you've heard me say most of that before. But as I looked and began to meditate on this situation, how can we help change our nation and our world? I want to make a statement so clear that no one in this audience can miss what I'm saying today. I thank you for the nice things that you say about us. It's much better to be loved in leadership than be lynched, that's for sure. It's much better to have people's love and appreciation, and I could not tell you how deeply I appreciate that. But there's a message that I think we all need to re-understand today. It's not just Pastor Bob, or it's not just this one or that one or the other one. But every one of us are a part of changing our city, our metroplex, our nation, and our world. There are people in this audience that have never traveled widely. You've hardly traveled at all. There are those that are not able to travel now because of your health. But I want every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl in this audience to know that you are helping to change our world. And you are helping to change our nation. And you are helping to hasten the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say to anyone listening to me by radio, wherever you may be, that everything you do that's in your heart to do, you are having a life-changing effect. You may be in the greatest moment of tragedy of your life. This may have been the most difficult year or 2 or 3 years, financially or domestically or personally. I don't know. It may be the happiest time of your life. It may be a very difficult time in your life. But I wish I could just go down and put my hand upon each one of you and say, you and you and you and you and you and you are helping to change our world. You are helping to change our world. It's been a week of graduations. You should have seen the little kindergarten young people in their little robes and their little graduation caps. Cutest little thing you ever saw in your life. And I mean, it was serious business. And as I looked at that, I said, one boy and one girl at a time, we're helping to change our world. What is Calvary Academy all about? One student at a time, we're helping to change our world. Teachers can impart things into the lives of children that will last for eternity. And so as I looked at these things, I looked at the life of Mike Magnuson. Mike was a very quiet man. He was not a flamboyant man at all. Always looked sharp, handled himself with dignity. I call him just a quiet, gentle giant, just a quiet genius. But if you were there early in the morning, you would hear him down in his office. He's already on email. He's already on the telephones. The man touched people's lives all over the world. Some correspondence is just now beginning to come in. Where have the correspondence things been from Mike Magnuson? This man touched Hollywood in the awards that were made there. His influence was all over the world. He was on an island. He felt like he wasn't doing much for God. He felt like he wasn't getting much accomplished. And you know, if you've served God any period of time, there are days when the devil will come to you and say, you don't count. Your tithe doesn't count. Your life, your prayer, your witness does not count. Look at you. You're going through a lot of trouble. Your life is not important, but your life is important. Everyone is important in the kingdom of God. And everything you do in the name of Jesus is helping to change our world. Quickly, just going through some things that God made real to my heart. You know, we're helping to change our cities, our nation, and our world by letting God change us. This theme has been a reoccurring theme in my own heart. The body of Christ must constantly change. I know who we are in Christ, but I'm telling you that God's calling for change, and I have not been able to get away from a verse that God made so real to my heart in some very formative times of my life and ministry from Galatians, the 2nd chapter, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, the first way that you can help change your nation and your world is to let God change you. Let God change you. There is no age limitation. You're never too young. You're never too old to let God change you. God's calling for change. God's calling for change in all of us. I don't think I'm the only one that feels this so keenly. And Paul said the way you help change your world is to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. and the life which I now live. We all need to change. We all must change. I think Joyce Meyer is the champion of change. I was listening to one of her tapes a while back, and Joyce always tells it on herself. She was driving a little too fast, and so the red lights came on behind her, and the officer pulled her over. She looked in the mirror, and he was fumbling around doing something in his seat, and she looked down in horror as her seatbelt wasn't on, so she buckled her seatbelt real quick. And the officer, when he walked up to her car, looked at her driver's license, made some small talk, and he said, "Lady, I want to ask you one question. Do you always wear your seatbelt through the steering wheel?" Well, Joyce Meyer is changing. We are changing. Jacob changed, and so can we. But you say, "I'm just this way." But should you be that way? You say, "That's just me." But is me enough? It needs to be Christ, the hope of glory in me. Daily letting God change us. How can I help change our nation, our world, our city? By realizing that only God can help us to change. That takes the pressure off, doesn't it? "Yes, preacher, you're telling us we need to change, but you just don't understand. I can't change." I'm so glad you discovered that. Because you can't do it in your own strength. In fact, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. "Without me, you can do nothing." So first of all, when you identify something about you that needs to be changed, you say, "Lord, start to work. Do the work." And if it doesn't happen immediately, or if you get it in place and it slips out of place, go back to Him again. Go back to Him again. Go back as often as needed and say, "Lord, change me. I'm not giving up." You remember Jacob wrestled all night with the angel, and the morning light brought change in his life because he refused to quit. So, realizing you need to change, but realizing that only God can help you change. And thirdly, by refusing to receive any spirit of offense in the process of my change. More preachers are out of the ministry today because they received a spirit of offense and just couldn't handle the rest of it. Jesus said it's impossible, but that offenses are going to come. It's just basic life. But you don't have to receive the offenses that come. I've never had, in the last year or so, I've never had so many opportunities to overcome in my life. Here I'm preaching on all this, and you just get a wonderful opportunity to get a spirit of offense. But the moment you receive that pitiful me, that little hurt, everybody's against me. It's a communist conspiracy. Everyone, the whole world's against me. You lose your anointing. You lose your vision. You lose your strength. And you lose your focus. It will absolutely drain you of the power and the anointing of God within you. There's always going to be somebody that's going to be tacky. Always someone that's going to say something they shouldn't say. Always something is are going to be around you. Jesus was surrounded by opportunities to have a spirit of offense. Well, just Judas alone was enough to last for a lifetime. And then your chief spokesman on the day of Pentecost cursed and said, "I don't even know him." And on the story goes. But oh, Jesus overcame. He overcame. He overcame. The fourth thing that I would bring to your attention today, let's go back to that spirit of offense for a moment. You say, How do I know if I have a spirit of offense? When you say, I don't have a spirit of offense. Not me. There's a reason I don't speak to them. Well, you know, there's a humorous side, but really, I don't think any, I've never heard a teacher teach strong enough, preacher preach strong enough. I have never heard a message strong enough to warn the body of Christ how dangerous a spirit of offense is. It's a terrorist looking for a place to go off, is what it is. It's a spiritual terrorist waiting to go off. And the thing about it is that God loves you so much that God will lift you out of that thing. And hey, there's some things that are hard to shake off. There's some things that are hard to get through. But God can and will help you. He'll do it. Another insight is to walk in love toward everyone. C.M. Ward said it best years ago. He was the speaker of Revival Time. Very powerful, gifted speaker. He said, treat every person with dignity. The ditch digger knows something that you don't know. You can learn something from the ditch digger. You can learn something from every person in your life. Walk in love. Treat every person with dignity. And each one of these would be a series, but number five, watch your words. Words can start wars. They have oft times. Words can start wars, or words can make peace and heal. I daily pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For out of the abundance of the heart we speak. Well, I didn't mean to say that, but watch it. Because what's there will come out. And you know, that's why we need to daily just say, Lord, sanctify me wholly. I know in the salvation sense we are, but God, from head to foot, my spirit, my mind, my body, the entirety of my being, let me be a reflection of you, Jesus. Folks, you just can't improve on looking down from a cross when your life is being drained out and your blood is leaving your body and saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What do you mean they don't know what they do? They knew what they did. No, he said, they don't know what they do. They don't understand the spirit behind all this. Father, forgive them. Walk in love. Watch your words. Watch your words. Words can wound, or words can heal. Words can put people back on their feet again. That powerful verse, I believe it's Moffat's translation from Job, that said, thy words have put men on their feet again. Your words can knock people off their feet, or your words can pick people up and put them back on their feet again. Our words are so very important. I think also we need to remember that we need to seek to be witnesses daily. Find someone. You don't have to be a seminary graduate. You don't have to know everything there is to know about the Bible. Follow the example of Paul. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. We're not arguing a church or a denomination. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me, how he changed my life. You know, every time you witness to someone, whether you win them or not, you feel like you got saved all over again. At least I do. I mean, every time you share a witness with someone, you just feel like, oh, I was just born again. Not really, but you know what I'm talking about. So every time you pray, whether it's at the power tower at home or on the freeway or wherever you are, you're helping to change your city, your nation, and your world. Every time you pray. You're not able to get on the plane with our missionaries today and go back with them. Oh, if I could only be a missionary. You might not last very long. I remember when I went to Calcutta several years ago, thank God I traveled with a veteran. He was young, but he was a veteran missionary. And he said, Pastor Bob, if you don't get a grip on yourself, you're going to be worthless when you get to Calcutta, India. I mean, he drilled this. There were three of us traveling together. He said, what you smell, what you see, what you observe, just the odor of things, what you see in the streets, just everything that you see. He said, I could name famous personality after famous gospel personality that got off of one flight on one day, went to the one decent hotel, and got on the next flight the next day, said, I cannot handle this. And you see, because I had that taught to me, and I listened. You know, some people, you can't tell them anything. I listened because he had been there many times, and I knew that he was a veteran. Though he was young, he was a veteran missionary and experienced. When I got there, I had my faith locked in, and we were able to stay there for several days and preach the gospel of Christ. And out on the street one day, it was God. Must have been an angel protecting me. I never will forget the day I laid my hands on a leper. I didn't even think. There it was. And he got after me about that, but I didn't even think. I should have, but I didn't. I mean, that was the abandon that was in my heart. And while others would get off of one plane, hide in a hotel room, and leave the next day because they could not stand what they encountered, yet God helped us to do that. And you know, we need to seek to witness to people daily. But every time you pray at the power tower, I remember one preacher that really took me to task about the power tower. I mean, he told me 6 or 7 things that he didn't like or didn't believe in about the power tower. You know where he is today? He's backslidden, left his family, and has made a disgrace out of his life. He was one of these super spiritual people. Everything had to be my way or highway. And I tried to explain to him where we were coming from. Just simple basics. Folks, we must be careful. The casualties are many on the highway of life. Casualties are many on the road of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every time you pray, you're helping change your city, your nation, and your world. Every time you're honest, the teller at the bank made a mistake. Someone gave you too much change. Someone gave you something and they were not aware of it, and you called that to their attention. I don't even remember where it was, but in the last 2 weeks, something like that happened. And I went back, and it was $20 or $30, really. And I don't even remember the occasion, but I remember it happened. And they said, I just appreciate you being honest. Well, I said, that's what I should do. That's what I should do. That's what a child of God should do. Every time you tell the truth when others are not telling the truth. Well, why does everybody have to tell the truth but me? Well, you're going to heaven. You know Jesus. You know better. Every time you tell the truth when others don't. Every time you hold steady when everyone around you is vacillating. Every time you're a rock in the midst of the storm. Every time people just are all aflutter and don't know what to do. And boy, that happens in the kingdom of God so often. And you're that steady rock that says, let me tell you how it is. Been there before? Let me show you how to come through the storm. Let's hold steady. Let's see God's will for our lives. Every time you come to church, some neighbor's watching you drive down the street. Every time you return from church, someone's watching that. Every time you refuse a spirit of offense, as we've already touched on. Every time you tithe, you're saying to heaven, I am a believer and I'm an obedient believer. You see, it's important to realize that when your partner with those that are committed to changing our cities and our nation and our world, that you're helping to change our cities and our nation and our world. But you see, I think one of the final thoughts that I'd like to share with you today, sometimes I'm at a loss to explain all that's gone on in my heart, because we're not even a year into the passing of our precious brother. And I know people come and go, but you know, it's not only just a friend, but it's someone who was a vital, key gospel worker. Someone who filled a much stronger place than most people even realized. But you see, we were partners together. We couldn't have done what we did without our precious brother, and our precious brother couldn't have done what he did without partnering with us. And so together, partners catch more fish. Isn't that amazing? You can hide out at home and say, no church is worthy of my presence, and I can't find a pastor I agree with. I met a lady like that the other day. She said, I don't go to church because I can't find a church I agree with, and I can't find a pastor I agree with. Well, I said, ma'am, If you can't find it in the Metroplex, you need to get saved. Somebody's going to have your brand of what you think it ought to be, or at least kind of sort of close. Partner with those that are committed to changing our cities and our nation and our world, and be faithful and consistent. I think we're going to be amazed when we get to heaven. It's not the firing of rockets. It's not all the great things that have happened. But it's people that are faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. And God said you're going to have a crown of life. Be faithful. Be consistent. Be constant. Day in and day out, when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. When you feel so super spiritual and when you don't have a feeling present. That's when you go back to the word that we walk by faith and not by sight. Does it measure up with God's word? It's not how I think. It's not what I think I see. It's not what I feel. It's what does God's word say about it? You hold steady. When everybody says the land's filled with giants, you say, but wait a minute. It's not giants, it's grapes that we need to fasten our attention on. The land's filled with grapes. It's filled with plenty. It's filled with God's blessing. And I just want to encourage you today that through your love and your faith and your partnership, you've done more than you realize. I could look at, I call them the Glory Sisters. They sit about three seats back there. And I'll tell you what, I love these ladies because they didn't start yesterday. And every time their health were permitted, they are here. Just being there. You don't know what it does, Mark. I just look out. You say, well, I'm not singing. I'm not preaching. I'm not receiving it all. But you're there. And I know your faith is there. And I know that you're pulling and for me, and you're saying, God, anoint our church and anoint our pastor and anoint our staff. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. Oh, I tell you, I'm excited about God today. Be faithful unto death. And I believe with all of my heart, something that God spoke to me early this morning. I just got on my face before God upstairs, and I was just reaching out to God, and God spoke something, and I got up off the floor and wrote it down. He said, every seed sown is a potential mighty oak. Every seed sown is a potential mighty oak. And he said, every witness is a seed sown, and every seed sown is a potential mighty oak. There's no throwaways. There's nothing lost in the kingdom of God. Every witness is a seed sown, and every seed sown is a potential mighty oak. So God has called us to reach villages, cities, nations, the world. And it's not just those of us in the spotlight that are going to be rewarded one of these days. Sometimes I wonder if we'll be at the back of the line. And some obscure saint that never said much, never received much, or any fanfare, the Lord's going to say to the front of the line, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Be thou faithful unto death. Ye are the light of the world. How can we help change our villages and our cities and our nations and our world? Just a few insights here today. I'm telling you how one man did it, a contractor by trade in the beginning. And he just kept on being so obedient that God just kept giving him bigger and bigger circles of influence. And today he's resting from his labors. You see, changing the world starts with me where I am right now. Don't you want God to change you? For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God.